All right. Good morning, everyone, and I want to greet you in the precious name of Jesus, the one who always was, always is, and always will be. He is eternal. It's something that's hard for me to wrap my mind around, the whole eternal thing and always being there. And I want to thank Gordon for coming up and having devotional and a challenge for us to choose who we're going to follow, whether we're going to follow Christ and do the good things that God asks us to do, or whether we're going to do our own thing. And also the songs, the theme song for this month is Ode to Be Like Thee. As Christians, we are called to be like Christ, and that's not an easy task. It means that we are to give up all of earth's treasures, as it says in the song. I hope you were listening to the words of the song as you sang it. It takes effort on our part to give up all of earth's treasures. This morning, I hope I can stir your thinking and give you a better understanding of how great and how awesome and how majestic our God is. I don't believe that there are words that we can use to describe Him. As you know, technology has come a long way in the last 20 years. It's incredible what we can do on such a small thing as a cell phone anymore. I'm sure some of you have heard, some of you that keep up with the latest technical stuff that comes out, know that the new iPhone is going to be released. And it's just amazing how many new things that they can keep adding to these phones as each model comes out. Every year we go through the same thing of you need to have this one because it can do this and this and this, which your other phone can't do. Isn't it incredible, yeah, of the technology that of the phones in 20 years? Some of us, middle-aged to older ones, if you remember how the mobile phone started out, ones that you would plug into your vehicle and carry along in your vehicle. You couldn't really carry it with you, but you could take it with you in your vehicles. And they were as large as these, as large as our landline phones. The first phone that I can remember, mobile phone, I think Mark had one. I think I remember it at the cabin. It was either him or Glenn Musser, but had this big box with this phone in it, and it was really cool to see. some of the younger ones probably don't remember those days. But as the years went on, technology advanced and things kept getting smaller and smaller. The next one that they came out was, you know, about the size of just a landline phone, but you could carry it with you more. It was more mobile. I mean, you could take it with you, but you still couldn't quite get it in your pocket. But now, I mean, as years went on, and this has only been 20 years ago, it's not that long ago, but the phones have gotten so small that you could, you know, you could almost hide them. And but now technology is going the other way. The larger the phone, the better. And also the steeper the price. My point is, what has taken cell phone technology 20 years to accomplish, or even the automotive industry over 100 years to innovate to what we have today, it pales in comparison to what Christ, our Heavenly Father, created in just 6 days. (Clears throat) We as humans think we are pretty smart when we think of a new or better or easier way to do something, or when we think we know how to run our business more efficiently. Last week I wasn't here, but I heard some of it on the phone about the different parts of the body and how it functions and how it all works together. All of our body parts have specific rules to play in order to function properly. If you can think back to last Sunday when Randy shared about some of those things the body can do and how we are made, it's pretty incredible the details of what our body can do. Can you imagine all the technology that went into creating a human body? God doesn't have to keep upgrading features and changing sizes to make the human body operate more efficiently. All he needed was to take dirt and form it and breathe into it, creating the human body. He created our magnificent bodies with only dirt and breath. It's not only our bodies, but if you take a look outside at nature, look at the perfect colors, look at the perfect shapes. Can you imagine the clear sky being any other color than blue? Or the grass being any other color than green? Can you imagine clouds being square? Can you imagine the water being white, not clear, but just white? Can you imagine the streams flowing in a complete straight line? Everything that was created by God has a purpose. And that means everything, whether it be stuff that we don't like snakes, rats, spiders, crabgrass, weeds, or bugs. I believe that everything has a purpose on this earth. There's a reason why God created it. We may not know what the purpose is, but I believe that God created them for a purpose. Our God is so powerful and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do, as the song goes. Today I've titled the message, if it works here, that you may know him. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to 13, I believe. Before we look at our text, I want to give you a history of the authorship of the book of John. But before I do that, the stated purpose of the fourth and last gospel of John is this. If you can read this carefully and think about it. But these words that John wrote in the book of John are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John was the son of Zebedee. John grew up working and teaching with Peter in the early church in Jerusalem for approximately 20 years. He then moved on to Asia Minor and settled in Ephesus, where he wrote the book of John. It is believed between the years of AD 85 and AD 95. I don't know if that rings a bell for you or not, the place of Ephesus. We talked about that last time I preached. Working with Peter for all those years, John was very familiar with the early Jerusalem church's teaching, which the book of Mark talks about. When John wrote his gospel, he provided, by the Spirit of God, a rich supplement to the early Jerusalem apostolic teaching core. So when John wrote the book of John, it was a rich supplement to what the early Jerusalem church's teaching was. The book of John is the last of four Gospels talking about the life of Christ. The key word in the book of John is believe, which occurs 98 times. The book of John is also noted for seven signs and the seven I ams. The seven signs are when he is changing the water into wine in Cana, healing an official's son in Capernaum, healing an invalid at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, feeding the 5,000 near the Sea of Galilee, walking on the water on the Sea of Galilee, and healing a blind man in Jerusalem, and raising dead Lazarus in Bethany. The seven I ams are: I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the gate of the sheep, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. All those I ams are great descriptions of who our Christ is. I believe at the very foundation of being a Christian is for us to understand how God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and to understand that He created His world and created His beings, that He is in control of anything that happens. In a book right now I'm reading at home, it says that God does not need our money or any help from us to accomplish anything. He doesn't absolutely need us. Sometimes we think that if we give more money toward this project or that project, it can be purchased. We'll be helping God's kingdom advance. But God does not need that to accomplish His will. He is all-powerful. He can do anything. I'm not saying to stop giving to projects like this, but I am saying don't feel like because of you, God was able to accomplish His work. I don't know if that makes sense or not to you. I am just in awe and at how great and how powerful God is and how hopeless and weak that I am. I think that if we can somehow grasp this, our reliance on Christ will change. I really appreciated seeing all of you that came out on Wednesday night for prayer meeting. I hope that you could just see and feel the power of Christ in our petitions. I mean, really, you really think that God could change ISIS or even make them fall apart? Or do you think that He could really change the North Korean president? After studying and looking into this passage and having a better understanding of the power of who God is, I believe that God can do much more than that. Okay, now that you're there at John 1, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 12 or 1 through 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John's introduction to this, to the book of John, seems to be this. I want you to consider Jesus and his teaching and deeds, but you will not understand the good news of Jesus in its fullest sense unless you view him from this point of view. Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh, and his words and deeds are those of the God-man. Verses 1 and 2, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." First of all, in the beginning. What beginning is John referring to here? As far back as you or I can think, is the beginning. In the beginning, the Word was existing. It always was. The Word had a being before the world had a beginning. Let me read that again. The Word had a being before the world had a beginning. He that was in the beginning never began. So, I don't know if you can follow that, but he that was in the beginning never began. He always was, and therefore was ever without beginning of time. So in the beginning, before time existed, was the Word. Before the world was even created, God always was. So in the beginning was the Word. What is John referring to here being as the Word? Much as our words reveal who to others our hearts and minds, so Jesus Christ is God's Word to reveal his heart and mind to us. That saying comes from Warren Wiersbe. Let me read that again. Much as our words reveal to others our hearts and minds, so Jesus Christ is God's Word to reveal his heart and mind to us. So Jesus is a eternal being. Even though he came to earth as a human and died as a human, he was an eternal being. So Jesus Christ is the Word that John's talking about here. Jesus Christ is the Word, and he, the Word, was with God, and he, Christ, the Word, was God, and he was in the beginning of God, and he was in the beginning with God. I often thought that Jesus Christ was just coming to earth in the form of a human being to show us the way to God. But I didn't really think of Jesus as being an eternal being, having no beginning. I knew that God was, you know, always eternal, but I never thought of Jesus Christ being an eternal being, and he always was even before he came to earth. Okay, going to verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This verse is still talking about creation in the beginning. When God's Word created all things, again, who is God's Word? It's Jesus Christ. So God, through Jesus Christ, created all things in the beginning. In verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Our spiritual and physical lives come from Jesus Christ. This is the purpose Christ came to earth as a human being. He came to bring life, a life that serves as the light for all people. The life that Jesus brought was more than just human life. It is life eternal with God. Life is a key theme in John's Gospel. It is used 36 times. What are the essentials for a human life? There are at least four that I learned about, and light is one of them. And the Bible also talks about Jesus being the light of the world. And light is one of the necessities of living or being alive. If the sun went out, everything would die. Another thing that is essential for life, for a human life, is air, water, and food. Jesus is all of these things. He is the light of the world, and the light of the world. He is the light of life and the light of the world. He is the sun, which is the sun in the sky. He is the sun of righteousness. If you turn to Malachi 4:2, it talks about Jesus being the sun of righteousness. By his Holy Spirit, he gives us breath of life, as well as he is the water of life. Finally, Jesus is also the living bread of life that came down from heaven. He not only has life and gives life, but he is life. Jesus also brought light into the darkness. The first creation began with, "Let there be light." And the new creation begins with the entrance of light into the heart of the believer. It says that in Luke 1, verses 78 through 79. And I'll read those at this time. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke gives a beautiful picture here of Christ being like the sunrise. When Christ came into the world, Jesus brought light into our dark world. It's a good picture of the sunrise bringing light into the dark world. Going on to verses 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Okay, John here in the next couple of verses is talking about John the Baptist coming to bear witness of the light. Which was Jesus coming to earth. He was announcing Jesus' arrival. John the Baptist was preparing the people for Jesus' life on earth. The author here, John, was a follower of John the Baptist's teaching while at the church at Jerusalem before moving to Ephesus, where he is now writing this book. John the Baptist is not the author of this gospel, but he was a great forerunner of Jesus. He was sent from God, which was the secret of his importance. Like the Old Testament prophets, he was equipped and commissioned by God for a special ministry. In verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. This is a very interesting verse. And I don't know that I can explain it perfectly, but when Christ came before a perfect world, when Christ came from a perfect world where he had been with the Father and came down to this dark, evil world to save the beings he made. When the Bible talks about the world, I believe the world can mean two different things. It can be the creation, the animals, the birds, the plants, planets, and it also can mean humanity, people like you and I. It says in the end of the verse, even though he made the world, humanity, yet the world did not know him. How could people not know Jesus, the maker of this world? They had John the Baptist that was announcing Jesus coming when Jesus came. Jesus performed all the miracles in the Gospels, and yet humanity did not accept him. But yet it's easy for us to criticize the Jews for not recognizing their Creator. But all they had back then was the Old Testament writings. Let's look at us for a minute. Where are you or where am I at with Christ? Yeah, we can say, or I can say, I believe. Gotta find where I was at here. We all believe in God. But that doesn't make us any better than even the demons, the Bible says. Because the demons believe that there is a God. In James 2:19, it says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." My prayer is that each one of you, or that I, will truly believe in your hearts and not just in your mind, and obey His voice as He calls you. In the book I'm reading, it also talks about how our minds. It talks about how our minds and what our minds long for is temporal. On the other hand, our heart longs for eternal things. And it's a constant everyday battle between our minds and our hearts. So it's our mind versus our heart. Again, our mind longs for temporal things, things that just are short-lived. And our heart longs for everlasting stuff that lasts. I was trying to think of an example of this, and one that I came up with is when your children fight and can actually hardly stand each other or stand their other sibling, their mind is telling them that they can't stand their brother or sister. But if something happened to that sibling in a car accident or something similar, that same brother or sister would really feel love towards them, and that would come from their hearts. The same thing with your spouse. Unless your marriage is perfect and you always get along, sometimes you can feel anger or even dislike toward him or her. But at the same time, if something happened to your spouse, you would find out how much you actually love that person. I don't know if you can understand the difference or not. But we have to listen to our heart and not just our mind. Our mind longs for temporal pleasures. Our hearts long for eternal pleasure. An example of this, my mind tells me I would really like a whole day of golf with my friends. When my heart says no, what you really want is to spend quality time with your family or do something they want to do. Anyway, we need to know Jesus with our hearts and not just our minds. It will change your priorities, and it will want what God wants for your life. Like I said, the word world does not only mean humanity, but the other part of the world are things like the weather, the planets, animals, and plants. I really believe that even though most of humanity did not recognize the Son of God, the world's contents, like the weather, the plants, the animals, and the planets, I believe did recognize Him. I wonder when Christ walked from city to city, or even when Christ was out in the desert to be tempted by the devil, I wonder how did the animals react when Christ walked by? I believe that the animals and the other creatures of the earth, I think they instinctively knew that He was their creator. Verses 11 through 13. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus came to live with the Jews, and the Jews did not receive him. But it says, to all who did receive him, who believed in Jesus' name, Jesus gave them the right to become the children of God. The Jews were Christ. The Jews were Christ as a man's. I read this a little slower so we can get it. The people, the Jews, the people were Christ as a man's, as you or I, his house and lands and goods are ours. Or, so the Jews were Christ as a man. Man's house and lands and goods are his, which he uses and possesses. But believers are Christ's, as a man's wife and children are his own, which he loves and enjoys. He came to his own to seek and to save them because they were his own. Many profess to be Christians, yet they do not receive him. Because why? Because they will not part with their sins, nor have Christ to reign over them. In verse 13, it says, not only do you have to believe in the name of Jesus, but we have to be born a second time. It says in verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The new birth does not come by your ancestors or by your natural descent. And it is not a result of being born into a Christian home. I thought an interesting point. One of the commentaries noted that grace does not run in the blood as corruption does. We cannot inherit grace, but corruption gets inherited. We hear a lot about generational sins, but there is no such thing as generational graces. The Jews glorified much in their parentage and the noble blood that ran in their veins. We are Abraham's seed, and therefore to them pertain the adoption, because they were born of the blood. But this New Testament adoption is not founded in any such natural relation. It is not produced by a natural power or of our own will. It is not of blood, nor of the will of flesh. So neither is it the will of man, who make their own rules to decide what is okay and what is not. We cannot do that. We cannot make our own rules to decide what is right, what is okay, and what is not. The principles of the divine life are not of our own planting. It is the grace of God that makes us willing to be His. Human laws or church guidelines sanctify. Nor can human laws or church guidelines sanctify and regenerate a soul. If they could, the new birth would be by the will of man. But it is of God. This new birth is owing to the Word of God, as it says in 1 Peter 1:23, and to the Spirit of God as the great and only author. And in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here in verse 14, John is talking about himself and the other disciples and followers, his personal experience of knowing Christ. John says, we have seen His glory, full of grace and truth. The evidence that they had was firsthand. It wasn't secondhand. They actually were there with Christ. They did not hear through somebody else. They actually saw the glory of Him that gave testimony that He was the Son of the living God. So what John is declaring here is this. And this whole passage is he saw firsthand. When you and I spend a lot of time together, we get to know each other's weaknesses. Or another way you could put it is, when you spend a lot of time with somebody, when you spend a whole weekend or a week with somebody else, you can actually get to know their weaknesses and kind of get tired of them, if you know what I mean. They're not, you still like them, but you just get irritated at some of the things that they do, maybe. But that's not so with Christ. Those that spend the most time with Christ saw most of his glory. So was the case with Christ's doctrines. The disciples knew the mysteries of his doctrines. The more the disciples knew Christ, the more they didn't want to leave him. What was the glory that they saw? I believe it was God's goodness in his glory, and he went about doing good. Caring for the poor, healing the sick, delivering the sinners. God's complete holiness was displayed through Jesus. So in closing, when Jesus was sent to earth, he was to be God's word to us. God's own people didn't even recognize him in the flesh living among them. They put their own king to death because they weren't willing to accept Christ as he was. They were looking for more of a powerful, more of a war king. In a couple of weeks, we will be having meetings here on ways we can witness to the people in Wilmersdorf. To be completely upfront with you, that scares me to go out and knock on doors and ask others if they have a relationship with Christ. Why? Why does it scare me? I really believe that we or I don't understand completely how important Christ is to me or us. Is the reason we aren't being persecuted like the disciples were because we aren't out sharing the love of Christ with others and standing up for what is right? Do I really believe with my heart and not with just my mind that Christ saved my soul from hell? Do I or you really know Christ? Yeah, we all know Christ with our minds. But do you know Christ with your heart? I just think that if we completely understood Christ's love for us, it would change our lives. One of the things that clearly sticks out in my mind after the licensing service here, when people came through the line and encouraged us, was when a brother told me that you have no idea. You have no idea how much God loves you. And he said, I just want you to know that. That meant so much to me to hear that. I don't want to discourage you in your walk with the Lord. If he means everything to you, I only want this to be an encouragement for you to keep seeking Christ. Read and study your Bible. That's got to be a priority in our lives. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Keep growing in Christ. There are so many distractions. For a small example, I just learned yesterday, and maybe you guys know already too, but our phones can be a huge distraction. I went to work yesterday morning, and I forgot my phone at home. And I was delivering a mower, and I got there about 8:30. And I was delivering it to a business, and when I got there, I realized that they didn't open till 9. And so, to get to, if I wanted the check, I had to wait around till 9, till he got there. So I didn't have my phone to look at or text or call anybody. because I didn't have that distraction, I was doing things more profitable probably by I was cleaning out the inside of my truck. It really didn't take me that long to clean it out, but that's something that would have never gotten done had I had my phone. The cell phones are great tools, but they can distract us from doing better things. And so, in closing this morning, I just want to say to you two that you have no idea how much Christ loves you. No idea. So give your all to Him. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for what you mean to me, and I just pray that this morning would be a day that we could just give you our all to you, and Lord, just show us, help us to understand how much you love us, and just pray that you would go with the remainder of the service this morning. Just pray that you bless each one that has come this morning. I pray that you would just continue to speak to them and help them to continue to grow, to know you. And I pray all this in your name. Amen.